Well, now we'll say a few beautiful words to find out whether or not this tape works. Not only a few beautiful words, but we'll even try a little music to see if it can do reasonably well with that. So, now let's see.
From the film The Sandpiper, The Shadow of Your Smile, Norman Newell and the orchestra.
My darling daughter Carol. I started with a little word or two before the recording of the song. Then I decided I might as well make a big deal of the whole thing. And make at least 7 minutes of a tape for you. I figured that if I made a little background music, this at least would take over in case I was too boring. So bear with. First of all, and this you ought to be interested in, as I recall, you paid a not too happy price for the tapes you got from Penny's or wherever you got them anyway when you're in St. Louis. I am recording on a tape the same as several that I've sent in a regular parcel post package to you. They're presumably in 150-foot lengths, including the mailers, litter mailers, or, believe it or not, 10 cents a roll. That's what this roll costs. So, I figure at least this is better than the price you used to pay, so I thought I'd send you a few and give you a stock. It also eases my guilt complex for the fact that you may have sent us more tapes than we sent you when you were in St. Louis. And unfortunately, not too well able to afford it at that time. The background music talk right now, for what it's worth, is WRNM, the Elgin FM. There. I turned it up a little because I figure that if I'm drowned out, it'll only be to your advantage. So, I'll at least bring you up to date. I know your mother. mother wrote you last Sunday, so there's a limit to what I can say that wouldn't be repetition. However, last night we went to visit at the YWCA a meeting for the formation of an organization called FISH. I don't know how well acquainted you are with the background of the symbol of fish, but it was the early efforts of the Christians to be able to identify one another and indicate a meeting place without being recognized by pagans who would put them on trial. So, anyway, this fish organization is dedicated to help that can be offered by laymen to give aid and assistance to people in the community that literally have great need, or either emergency or permanent need. When I say emergency, I mean someone who has maybe got a person ill in the family and has no means of getting to the hospital to visit them, whether it be local or in downtown Chicago. The members of FISH offer this service. This is emergency. On the basis of a more or less permanent help, it represents people who will go and read to the blind, go to nursing homes, go to visit shut-ins, just to visit them, and even people will go and talk to those who are bereaved to try to help them with their bad moment. So essentially, your mother and I went to visit this last night, and we have signed up to be available once a week in evenings to help in the areas that we feel we can. So much for FISH. It sounds like a really a great deal. And from all we could gather from the introductory films, there's an awful lot of need. Police become aware of it, but often people don't realize this. When we had our last social action meeting, and I might say that I had to tell them that this idea of the 11-cent meal was out because there was no means of contacting this fellow in St. Louis. I think I had sent you a letter, an envelope indicating that his address is unknown. But nonetheless, it's sitting in abeyance right now. Charlotte Swanson thought she knew a lady that could give information. Information that would help on this, so at the moment this is where it stands. It may or may not revive according to what Charlotte Swanson's friend can find out. Charlotte Swanson, of course, is the mother of Sue Swanson, about your age. Let me see. I'm kind of rambling. Just before I started talking on this tape to you, we had a fellow come in to see about the water softener. I think when I was voiceless in California, your mother may have mentioned the fact that the girls had told us that we had a $64 bill waiting for us for the replacement of the motor assembly on the water softener. Well, I discovered after we had gotten back that the shower water was far from soft. So I called them in again and found out that the water, which has an original hardness of 28, was only being softened to 21. They found that the line was clogged. Now they have cleared it, and they came back today to make the final check to see if it is working better. And lo and behold, it's down to about 2 grains of hardness, which is considered very good. So I am hopefully going to fight to pay only for the $64, not the additional $12 service charge they have tacked on, whatever this plus whatever this fellow might have added today. So much for that unhappy dollar sequence. If you'll forgive me, I'm going to turn this off for a minute just to see how well it's recording, and then I'll start up again, honey. Well, I won't necessarily say that the recording was good, but it's audible. This is a little bit of news. Steve Hamilton is once again raising his beard. This time, unlike before, he is shaving the edges, which gives it a semblance of control, which it, I guess, generally didn't have before. Who knows who this will satisfy? I never appeared in church until I had cut my beard. I guess I didn't tell you before I cut my beard off, but at least I took some black and white and some color shots in my beard, plus a few that occurred during vacation. So you'll have at least a chance to see how it was. I don't know if I told you or not. I couldn't have told you. When we were in Colorado Springs, that would be where we located to go up Pike's Peak, which we did the next day. We stopped in a trailer court to park our trailer for the night, accommodations. And they had a little hand-printed sign in the window. People with long hair.
Two autos apparently glided head on.
Or without shoes, not welcome.
State 55 near Route 53 last night.
Well, I had the unique and new experience of being told very bluntly that I was not welcome because of my, I presume, long hair. I was wearing shoes.
12-year-old Deborah Lorene of 385 Crest Bowling Brook.
Very, very funny feeling.
Driven by 21-year-old Shirley Lorene of the same address. The other vehicle was
stand
driven by
there,
17-year-old Tommy Land of El Paso, Texas.
A perfectly passenger with good, normal car, normal trailer. Nothing to
was investigated by District 2
destroy
State
the
Police.
Equation,
Elgin
except that,
13
by their opinion, your hair was too long.
Injuries reported in two
nothing
of
in my speech would imply that I was
of 259
weirdo, if this is what they thought, only the fact that I fell in the category of hair so long that it was starting to curl at the ends, plus a beard.
Of 215 National Street, and Sonia Aquino, 16, of 259
about
Brook. The other auto was driven
half,
by
3/4
of
a mile
Robert
from there, we found very efficient accommodations, and the next day we went up Pike's Peak. This, as I say, was unusual because I've had a pretty limited number of occasions in my life where people have totally rejected me because of the way I look. I'm not sure I've ever had the experience before, but such is life. Excuse me, I'm not going to compete against this babes on WRMN. Excuse me. Well, I don't know if it's as clear or distinct, but this is the, let me try it. The tape recorder is giving a little interference. But this is the station that I usually listen to. This is the Zenith station. Excuse me, that I normally listen to when I that I normally did listen to when I was on my way to work. That was back when I used to work. So much for that. Excuse the static, but it's better to listen to this babe talk. I'll turn back to her a little later. This isn't that great. Just a minute, I'm going to turn back to WRNN and turn it down until... Oh, wow. You're getting all the side effects of... of radio tuning. This is WRMN. I think. This is kind of zippy for old Pappy. Well, I've had this darndest phlegm in my throat ever since I had my loss of voice in Southern California. Hope it isn't anything serious like permanent phlegm. Aunt Maud called last night to inform us that the night before, which would be, let me see, Tuesday, the 22nd of September, Aunt Mabel passed away. 87 years old. Of a cerebral hemorrhage. If you recall, she and she and Uncle Sid had this farm out in Walnut, Illinois, and Edith was the adopted daughter that had lived there and stayed with them all through this period. I have nothing but great compassion for poor Edith. She would be between Uncle Eddie's and my age. A long-term old maid, and she wasn't that bad looking. She was a pretty young lady that ended up living for her folks, saving the farm first and eventually just ending up a fixture around the home. To me, one of the horrible tragedies. Now Aunt Mabel's gone, of course Uncle Sid has been gone for some time. Who knows what'll happen to poor Edith. She would be past any age of marriage or childbearing, just carried into the twilight of her life, caring for those who adopted her. I've talked too much already for speaking over a tape. I think I've talked to you before about her. It's very tragic to my understanding. Well, but this is Thursday the 24th, and tonight I attend my first Spanish class. I guess I need to go back a spec. Northwestern only required that I take a course a third semester course in French to satisfy my requirements. The only catch is after 30 years I would have to take French over again enough to know what to do to successfully complete a third semester course. I tried all over this area, including Harper Junior College, our local college, which has only day classes, Northwestern, several downtown junior colleges, and I could not find any place that could offer me this course. So, with my back against the wall and needing to register for whatever courses I would take at Northwestern, I finally decided my only course of action that would have any relevance would either be to take French over at Northwestern or Spanish. So I decided I would take Spanish. By January of 1971, I will have had three courses in Spanish, hopefully, if I am successful. And this at least seems to me to be more relevant. So, this is it. I'm taking my first of three necessary courses for graduation in Spanish. So be it. Wish me luck. I probably need it. I'm not exactly a linguist, but let's hope that this does the job. I have prepared and sent to Dr. Weisberg a resume designed to be similar to his, but of course relevant to my own experience. And so far I haven't received word back from him. I'm waiting with bated breath for this. Friday night, we are going to visit the King Sisters. This happens to be one of your mother's favorite programs, the King family. And we have tickets to see them. They're going to be at Gough Mill Run Theater, which is at Gough Mill. If you recall, that's about 6 miles east of the laboratory. We've visited that once or twice before. It's got a tremendously large Sears and Roebuck store. As I glance, we're just about running out of tape. So I don't know how much more I have to say, honey. Not an awful lot, but I'm going to close now and turn the tape over. Bye-bye. Decided to bore you with my voice because, believe it or not, the FM radio got to be so poor that it was even worse. I'll say one thing about my taking Spanish beyond the fact that I think it has maybe great relevance even here in Elgin. Being a language that is most related to our own continent, German and Spanish, fine, even Italian, but the fact is that as Ted has certainly related to us and as you have indicated from your own experience, except for the boondocks, they nearly always know English over there. Here we deal with a fairly large number of people that apparently come up from Mexico, but that have only Spanish in the language. So I can't help but feel that it is going to be more important to me to be able to speak language, not only from the standpoint of maybe being of some service here, but certainly it'll be an advantage even more perhaps in visiting Europe and visiting Mexico, because this was certainly a shortcoming not to have a knowledge of Spanish in Mexico and Central America. Notwithstanding anybody that has enough fingers and motions and gesticulations can put across a certain amount of a message without having the language in tow. Nonetheless, it's a barrier beyond which you cannot pass when you get into more intricate details of trying to communicate. When we came back from Central America, I might add, up to this point we'd had tire trouble, but not to the point where it was unmanageable. Bad, but not unmanageable. When we got to Carolina's home in Guatemala City, we discovered, to our total surprise, that she had arranged for a month's vacation so she could travel with us. Six in a trailer that is crowded with five is not exactly a perfect equation. But she approached Bert with the possibility of coming in. We decided that the only answer was to agree, and it was true that being linguistic in Spanish, she could help us. And this proved true. Our sleeping arrangements were inadequately crowded, as you can imagine. However, her ability to communicate with the Mexicans, that's about where our trouble started, concerning tires, most especially tires, did help us in getting our poor damaged carcasses of tires patched to the point where we could at least keep going. This was a pretty sad dilemma and took an awful lot of our time. In fact, there's no question that our tire trouble is the thing that made us decide to exclude Taxco and Acapulco. Taxco, of course, is the kind of silver center where your mother wanted to see jewelry. Acapulco is really nothing but a Mexican tourist resort. So seeing it later won't be quite that bad. When we got to Mexico City, I managed to be the first one sick on our first day. We went to see the pyramids north of Mexico City, and I could do little in the way of traveling around. I walked just enough to be able to see them, but I couldn't climb or anything. I was totally sick. I don't know if it was Teresa or what, but probably so. The second day, both Ted and Bert had to stay back at the trailer court. They were so very sick from Teresa. Make some dysentery in case you're wondering. And your mother, myself, and Jim and Carolina went to visit the Anthropological Museum in Mexico City, which is really, really a thing to see. It is. It's like going to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., to even assume that you can see it in a half day or even a day is only a poor judgment. We did get to at least pass around and see the majority of the things, at least enough to know how much in depth we should see it later on. And so much for Mexico City. We traveled on with no particular incidents to Guadalajara, which is a beautiful city. And I'm sure that the most lovely and modern trailer park we ever enjoyed was at Guadalajara. We traveled on from there to Mazatlan, stayed overnight, and the next day we started out early because we knew with all the time we'd lost with our tires that unless we got an early start, we would never make it on our planned route through Mexicali and Tijuana. We got 25 miles north of Mazatlán when the overheated signal on the Buick showed up. Checking, we discovered that the radiator was without water. We had known for some time that our water pump was leaking, but hoping against hope that it would hold on. We had continued because there was no place we could possibly have it repaired there. Well, this became one of the most interesting and unique experiences of our trip. We were stopped on the roadside. We had gotten our car turned around to go the 25 miles back to Mazatlán. It was over 100 to the next town. And we were trying to find out how we could possibly detach the trailer and even without the trailer manage to get the car back the 25 miles. We had decided we would try to force as best we could to get the car back because it had to be repaired, drop the trailer and leave Jim, one of the boys, and your mother with the trailer, with the idea that Jim could come in with his motorcycle to make contact if and when we could find a means of repairing our water pump on the Buick. While we were so speculating, a fellow drives up in a Volkswagen, hops out, and in perfect English, an obvious American, asks if he can help. He apparently had a little bit of mechanical inclination and discovered that the water was not going back to the radiator from our supply tank. This is something that was added just shortly before we started the vacation. And by filling the radiator directly and ignoring this bypass, he figured we could go on to the next town some 100-odd miles away. He offered to take some of the boys along with us and follow us to be sure we made it. I apologized for the fact that he had helped so much and felt he shouldn't help us more. So he went on to explain that he was retired, so he was in no hurry. He was going back to the United States to register. in. He lived in Guadalajara at the time. And so it was no concern him, his. He was happy to help us. Well, so we started. We had to stop about every 25, 50 miles and add water. In the course of the boys traveling with this fellow, we learned that his retirement at an age that was obviously younger than mine, was he was a retired naval officer from the Navy, 25 years service, 46 years old, and he had moved to Guadalajara so he could live more cheaply. Well, so much for that. He followed us on into the next town. He spoke Spanish fluently, so he arranged to have our car repaired. But it was late afternoon. By the time it was repaired, we had to stay for the night. He, with his Spanish speaking, went to a motel. They could not handle us, went on to a gas station, and they would allow us to park way back in their lot behind their station. He said he'd sleep in his Volkswagen, but we offered him one of our sleeping bags, so he slept with the boys outside of the trailer, had supper with us. During the course of the evening after supper, we went to the restaurant connected to the gas station, and lo and behold, Ted got to talking with two young fellows, and it turned out that they were two French students that were traveling through the United States and decided to bypass into Mexico, and it ended up here at this town north of Mazatlan. Excuse me. They wanted a ride. John offered to give them a ride, but wanted one or two of our boys to be with him, so because he didn't know the French boys. The thing that was strange here was Ted spoke English and a Dutch. The French boys spoke French and English. John and Caroline spoke Spanish and English, and of course we, the ignorant ones, spoke only English. So our common language, strangely enough, was English. Excuse me. The next morning, we all, I guess about 10 of us, had breakfast from your mother's efforts. Then we went to start up Buick and start. The battery had been pulled down by the refrigerator in the trailer, but John, with his control of Spanish, managed to find a truck that had a jumper cable, and we got the Buick started. And then by nursing it along and not stopping the motor, we did very well. Things went very beautifully. One Frenchman in the Buick, one in the Volkswagen, and our boys divided so that there was a good conversation exchange. Traveled down the line until about 2 to 3 in the afternoon, when John and his Volkswagen up ahead pulled off the road and stopped, and we, of course, followed suit. And as we pulled off, we discovered that there was a station wagon with a hand-printed sign and said, "Help." We went back to see, and here was an old gentleman, probably of retirement age or more, and his wife and his granddaughter. They had had their transmission repaired for $100, and it had failed almost immediately. They had been sitting there since the night before, their trailer off the side of the road, disconnected, and their transmission out. They couldn't pull the trailer. They were running out of water. So Your mother gave them what little we had left in our thermos. And at John's suggestion, we, all of us fellows, pushed the trailer up, connected it to the car, and advised him to at least try to get to some point where he could be helped, because he was just out where absolutely in no man's land. Well, he started up and went about a quarter of a mile, and his car was dead. His transmission was really out. So Bert came up with the idea that he had bought these sisal hammocks with half-inch ropes to hold them at each end, and maybe the ropes would be such that we could pull them to a point of at least where they could be safer and where they could maybe have their car repaired. So, with the use of rags to protect the rope, we connected his car to our trailer and pulled our car, our trailer, his car, his trailer. John, with a few of the boys, went racing on ahead to try to find a point where there would be a mechanic. And after we had gone some 5 to 10 miles pulling this double load in low gear, lo and behold, we were flagged down by one of our boys. John had found a mechanic that apparently was working on a truck and did know about automatic transmissions. So we pulled this old gent in to, with his trailer and all. And right across the road there was a restaurant that had pop and food and, of course, water and the things that they had been unfortunately doing without. So, while we were all enjoying a pop in the bottle during this real hot time, John, who had been talking to the mechanic, came over and spoke to me and said, Tom, I'm really afraid to leave these old folks, or they're going to be cheated by a mechanic again. They can't speak Spanish at all. He said, if you think you could take the two Spanish boys on to this point where I was going to take them, and this point was where he knew they could probably get a good ride. He said, I think I better stay with them. So I said, okay, we'll find a way. And that was the last we saw of John. He was really an unusual person. And we took the two French boys, 4 people in the front of our Buick and 4 in the back, on 50 miles to this gas station. So we left them, continued on, stayed overnight, and as we were coming through Hermosillo, which is the last large city before we left Mexico at Nogales, Bert happened to observe these two French boys getting off a truck. So we don't know where they stayed overnight, but whatever it was, they had managed to match our speed in traveling toward the U.S. border. This was a very, very unusual experience. Usually when anybody tries to be as good as John was to us, you almost automatically assume there's got to be a catch to it, but there was no catch at all. John was just a good, outgoing person. We do have his name and his address. We haven't yet, but before too long we will be writing to him. These are the really human experiences that make a trip outstanding. No question, scenery is a wonderful thing, but the human equation adds so much to any vacation you're in. Well, I glance and I see I apparently have managed to use up most of this tape. I won't bore you with more. glance over. I'm in the den right now. I glance over and I see lots of Laffy pictures of all the various members of the family. And as I peek around far enough, I see Carol holding, I think, little Tanya in her arms. But then here and there we've got little pictures of Carol. I've got little pictures of Carol. I shouldn't say little Carol, big, lovely, womanly Carol. These tapes, as far as I can see, seem to be perfectly all right. So maybe they'll serve a good purpose for you, honey. I close with lots and lots of love, honey. I miss you. I'll be anxious to see you whenever this may be. Bye-bye, darling.